There is a question
no
from
pressure.
Devotees.
We get many chances here. This says the Aparad Bhanjanarpat East or West. Yeah.
We had a brief dispute an hour ago with devotees, and there was a question that arose from that dispute. Many devotees...
From what?
Dispute.
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 Yes.
That's the wrong stress.
No, you said it right. Dispute.
Some of devotees, they heard, but they cannot give the exact reference, whether in one of your lectures or in one of the recorded talks of Srila Guru Maharaj, about the word thank you. they are saying that in Vaishnava
that we should be rude to everyone. That's what Guru Maharaj wants.
Is that true? It is out of Vaishnava etiquette. And isn't it, I mean, bring us to the state where we are like taking somebody's seva that was performed towards us as a granted if we stop saying thank you.
Right. All right. So this reminds me, like, we've heard the famous event of when Saraswati Thakur is leaving the world and he wants to hear Rupa Manjari Pada from Srila Guru Maharaj, right? The mystic power transit. And Srila Puri Maharaj starts singing. Well, Guru Maharaj is hesitating, so Tirtha Maharaj asks Puri Maharaj to sing. Puri Maharaj, the expert singer, Kirtaniya, he starts singing, and Saraswati Thakur stops him and says, I don't want to hear a sweet tune. I want, you know, to hear this from the lips of Sridhar Maharaj. So Guru Maharaj sings, and Puri Maharaj himself says, oh, then we saw a mystic power transmission of the Rupanuga line from Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur to Srila Sridhar Maharaj. So he said, we understand he is the Rupanuga Dhara. So high, so profound, so meaningful, this pastime. Right? When I first came to Krishna consciousness and sat with Gopeshwar Prabhu, actually we joined like within a few days of each other in this first, I remember hearing, so think of that divine pastime. Then we heard Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada said Saraswati Thakur didn't like for the devotees to sing in tune. Like that was somehow egoistic, or he preferred they sing out of tune. Right? So it took me something like 20 or 30 years to realize, like, oh, that's what they misheard. Prabhupada saying, and then Prabhupada said, I don't want to hear the sweet tune. Didn't mean he wants to hear someone sing out of tune. No, he's saying, there's a particular quality of heart with which this is to be expressed and realization, and I'm indicating that Sridhar Maharaj has that. Therefore, I want to hear from him. And we hear, like I recorded on Radhastami, when Gurudev's singing at Guru Maharaj's request, I actually have Guru Maharaj mic'd. So Srila Govinda Maharaj is next to him, Guru Maharaj, and you can hear Guru Maharaj sing. He sings very sweetly. It's a very enchanting. Gurudev, he is an extraordinary, a singer extraordinaire. But Guru Maharaj's singing is no doubt sweet. It's not like he can't sing, but there's like someone adept at singing and Saraswati Thakur was saying, no, in this instance, I want to hear this from someone who's realized this. He's giving an indication. That's why I only want to hear from him, and it was observed in that way. But like Param Parjena Prakriti Vaichitra, 11th canto, Krishna the Uddhava, saying the truth is heard, and then according to the, it's modified by the temperament of the receivers. That's Prakriti Vaichitrad. And from there, a parampara descends of modified reception. And modified. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in the Bhagavat speech that the truth inevitably, invariably is converted into error. So what was true and the truth as it was given, then gradually the influence of time, sakalaneha mahata yoga nashta parampara. Yoga nashta means the link was broken. Imam, this is in the fourth chapter. Imam vis vashvate yogam proktavanaham abhayam vivasvan manave praha manur ikshvakave brave. I instructed this to the sun god. Guru Maharaj points out it's karma yoga. And he says, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu. And then there's a parampara. Vivasvan to ikshaku, like that. Then he says, sakalaneham mahata yoga nashta parantapa. But in the course of time, it turned out the link, yoga nashta, is broken. Therefore, I am reestablishing that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he says what he says, we can understand it has basis in Bhagavad Gita. So he's saying, because it sounds frustrating and, you know, disquieting, or whatever the right word would be, like, well, these kind of things happen. I remember when I first read that as a teenager reading the Bhagavad Gita, I thought it was good. I thought, oh, they're acknowledging that it goes off. I like that better than those who say it can never go off. I'd rather... this sounds more realistic to me. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, so what the good news is about it is that it means that opens the door for fresh revelation. And the necessity of revelation, realization, generationally, that there will have to be some realization in each generation, not just literally passing something down. We see that doesn't work on many things, what to speak of this. Right? Because like you said about tone, you know, and emphasis, and, you know, used in another context, some, just to give an example, you know, someone said, I didn't say that man was beating his wife. I didn't say that man was beating his wife. I didn't say that man was beating his wife. I didn't say that man was beating his wife. I didn't say that man was beating his wife. I didn't say that man was beating his wife. I didn't say that man was beating his wife. I didn't say that man was beating his wife. I didn't say that man was beating his wife. I didn't say that man was beating his wife. So we say, we just need to accurately, bequeath this sentence to generations in the future, and they'll get it. Where's the emphasis? According to where the emphasis is placed, it has a totally different meaning. And so we're left, so thank you very much. Oh, I just said thank you. I'll be damned, right? I'll be, ousted from the association of the Vaishnavas for expressing gratitude to someone. So then we come to that, right, with this sort of preface, is that on a particular day, I brought some devotees, senior devotees, for the darshan of Srila Guru Maharaj. Right? He spoke very wonderfully. And then we went, and the talk finished, and we went downstairs to take prasadam, arranged by Srila Gurudev. Right? Like begun bhajan, some different things. But anyway, and then we were going to head back to Mayapur. And then Srila Govinda Maharaj came and said, Guru Maharaj wants to see you again. That was very unusual, because He talked for so long. We took prasadam. It was time to... And he said, Guru Maharaj wants to see you again. So we're like, oh. And we went upstairs to see Srila Guru Maharaj. And this reveals something of his heart, love, affection, humility, generosity, Vaishnavata. He said, I was thinking that your earnestness for preaching Mahaprabhu's teachings is so great that Mahaprabhu himself supplied that prasadam. Think about that. This is what he called us to say. I am thinking Mahaprabhu himself supplied that prasadam. So I told Govinda Maharaj to bring some to me. So what was given us, then he took a little bit of that, saying that I think Mahaprabhu himself supplied this. We're dumbstruck. And I remember also at that time, so then the senior devotee there was wondering, like, then what to say? After all of these, what Guru Maharaj said in the morning, and then the prasad, and now this, it was like overwhelming. And as it was time to part, he said, well, he couldn't think of anything. And he said, just, you know, thank you so much. And then Guru Maharaj said these now famous words. He said, thank you. That doesn't sit well with me. But he's smiling also. And then he said, because, he said, thank you presupposes two parties. One party has come and got something from another party. And now that they've got that thing, they're thanking the other party. He said, so it presupposes two parties. And then he turned his head very affectionately and spread his arms. He said, but we are all Mahaprabhu's men. Like that, in a very affectionate way. And at the time, I thought, because of things that were going on relatively, and I thought, he who is so great and so exalted, when he says we, he's willing to include us in that we. How generous of heart and feel genuine. And I thought, whereas some of our friends, when they say we, they're not willing to include him. But so what he was saying was, he didn't like this because it presupposed two parties. But he was not, I didn't take it that he was forbidding any one of us from ever saying thank you in any circumstance. But here he thought it was inappropriate because it indicated like two groups. And he's saying, no, we're part of the same thing. So thank you is not appropriate. And then that devotee humbly said, then what should I say? Like, And Guru Maharaj said, express some gratitude. So maybe in other languages it's better. You know, you could have said grazie, you know. Or gracias. Or merci. Right? Because what are those words? They've come to their expression. What does merci mean? I would assume it means mercy. I mean, that wouldn't be a stretch, would it? You know, Deo gratias, they would say in Latin and in Latin-based languages. So, sometimes devotees become a little extreme. Mahayogi Mars reminded me of when they praised some devotee in Los Angeles, like there was a feast, and they go, that was really nice halava, Prabhu. And he went, I'm not the doer. I guess divine power descended and made that halava. Stirred his hand, moved that hand, measured that suji, churned that butter. I mean, you could make a case for that. So, but still, within the Vaishnava culture, we want to learn the ways of the Vaishnavas. And that's where sometimes English is awkward. Some of these things don't always translate out of English. What does dhanyavad mean in Hindi? It's used as thank you, but that's not literally what it means. It doesn't mean like unto you, you know, because what does dhanya mean normally? In Sanskrit, dhanna means wealth. I don't know what it means, but I'm just saying. So these are equivalents of the English thank you in different languages, but they're not exactly thank and you as it is in English. And that's why Guru Maharaj objected. But Gurudev, he would sometimes, tongue in cheek, say thank you, knowing fully well what Guru Maharaj had said and everything. But like someone would, and he'd go, thank you, because he knew in their culture that was the appropriate thing to say. But what Guru Maharaj, I was there, and I take it that what he was saying was, here was a moment where we were one. You know, and that great, so he was including us in his we when he said, we're all Mahaprabhu's men. So thank you was a little too stilted and not affectionate at that point. I mean, do husband and wife say thank you to each other? Rhetorical question, I don't want to hear any, you know. What did they used to say? Some, you know, new age humanistic saying, love means never having to say you're sorry. People go, maybe sometimes you do. But he used to say that, love means never having to say you're sorry. Well, maybe sometimes you do. So, and the reason I mentioned these, I mean, it sounds like we're making a mountain out of a molehill, but it's on the subject of interpretation. That's what I mean to say. Maybe I'm giving it too much importance, but Guru Maharaj did say these things, and it seems to me, oh, in the retelling of the story, my point is about interpretation. So, like in another case, this is again directly from Guru Maharaj. After Saraswati Thakur's disappearance, the disciples, they would recall different things that he said. And without any names being mentioned, because I don't think he mentioned any names, but even if he did, it would be inappropriate. But he said, so in some cases, he said, one Maharaj was telling us, Prabhupada, meaning Saraswati Thakur, said this. You know, and he was saying it in a kind of absolute, emphatic way, as though, like, there's no other way, no other sort of interpretation can be entertained. This is it. You know, full stop, end of story. That's it. Prabhupada said this. That's it. And Guru Maharaj said, but he didn't take into consideration that Prabhupada said so many other things. And they should also be considered in when presenting this. Right? Same thing with Mahaprabhu's teachings. So in one place, you'll hear him say, he won't accept, you know, an offering from the hand of someone who's not a lakpati, who doesn't chant 64 rounds a day. Because he surprises devotees by saying the equivalent of like, today I want to eat in the house of a millionaire, which would be inappropriate for sannyasi. Like, today I want to eat in a rich man's house. And they're thinking, what? We hear Mahaprabhu, he likes shock collected from the forest and lathra, simple things. And the devotees are pushing the pitta and the sweets and rich things. But he likes shock and lathra. Repeatedly, he's mentioned that. Right? But so when he says, I want to eat in the house of a rich man, you know, a millionaire, and then the devotees are perplexed. And he's saying, not like that. He said, but someone who, you know, takes a lack of Krishna Nam. In fact, if someone doesn't, I won't accept anything from them. So the sahajiyas, they'll say, so see the implication? If you're not doing 64 rounds, you're not eating prasadam, kind of thing. Mahaprabhu says. Yeah. So some former friends, God, they visit, they're like running these different things by me that they say. I was at the Mutt with Guru Maharaj actually, but in another room. Then after they left, Guru Maharaj said, what did they say? And I said, here's, you know, 1, 2, 3, their arguments about things. You know. When I mentioned this, Guru Maharaj just laughed and he said, ekalakanam doesn't only mean one lack of Krishna Nam, it means a particular quality of Krishna Nam, not a quantity of, noise or Nam Aparad or something less than substantial. We understand the Goswamis, they're not practitioners. Right? They're not, practicing. Their bhajan is direct service. So when they're taking a lakh or more, it's a particular quality of Krishna Nam. So anyway, and on this point, Guru Maharaj has his own anecdotal evidence. When he was in charge of the Delhi Mutt, remember, he was in charge of the Delhi Mutt. And Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj was in East Bengal in some place called Baliati. And in the so-called jungle of Baliati, taking ek lakh Krishna Nam, 64 rounds a day. He's doing this program. And so Guru Maharaj is saying, oh, maybe that's... There are people in the Gaudiya Mutt, they think like, if you can't do that, then you can do other things. Like you can go in the kitchen or sweep the floor or help out. But this is what is for the higher devotees. You can't do that? We can find something useful for you to do. Right. So Guru Maharaj said, well, maybe I'm thinking to invite him to the Delhi Mutt for seva, to assist in the service here. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe he's doing what is the desired service. So I shouldn't interrupt. And so he wrote to Saraswati Thakur expressing his intentions. And Saraswati Thakur responded saying, if you will bring him to Delhi and engage him in the Mat Seva, you'll be his real friend and you'll be really serving him properly. He said, because I don't recognize that, he said, counting beads, that's what he called it. He didn't say taking Krishna, he said, counting beads in the jungle of Baliati is Krishnanushilana, right? It's favorable to the culture of devotion. That's the pronouncement from someone who had a history of, you know, could chant a billion names in a month, could chant 3 lakhs Krishna Nam. Gurudev said also, there was another man on the Ekalakanam program living somewhere in Badrinath, or what do they call that? Gopur means a cave?
Gufa.
Huh?
Gufa.
It's with a G.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Okay. And And after 20 years of that came out and came to Saraswati Thakur, took sannyas, and he said, "You're right." You know, like this, I just wasted the last 20 years of my life. Give me some, you know, I should preach. Right? Saraswati Thakur. You know, kirtan means a fight. Propaganda, actually, that word originally was used almost exclusively for religion. It was about propagating. Right? To propagate a religious belief. Only perhaps in the 20th century that it started, you know, there was such a thing as like war propaganda, you know, of governments. The very word as at its etymological basis is about propagating faith. They even have something called, you know, the propagator of the faith, or I think it's a position in the church or in most churches. So he's saying, really what kirtan is making propaganda in favor of Krishna conception. He was not recruiting bead counters. Like, I need more bead counters. So many beads. And they all need to be counted. Right? Like, we recruit someone. All right, send him in a cave and he'll start counting. You know, like accountants. The accounting firm of so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so, they'll be counting their rounds. Everybody, they'll be counting Krishna Nam for the company. That wasn't his idea. His idea was the whole world is being seduced by Western civilization. Remember Gandhi's famous quip when they said, "Mahatma Ji, what do you think about Western civilization?" And he said, "I think it would be a good idea." So he wasn't seduced. But, well, actually, on one level, he was, the whole nonviolence thing, which is another subject. And who is it? Was it Tolstoy? Right? He had a little place called... I mean, he was into it first. He influenced Gandhi, right? I mean, that's historically accurate. And Gandhi's place in South Africa, he called something like Tolstoyville or something. Anyway, that's another story. It falls short of the genuinely spiritual. Scores a lot of points with people in the relative world, but it's not, you know, it falls short of being substantially spiritual. Anyway, why did I say that? Because, oh, about the world being seduced by, so what did Saraswati Thakur say? Western civilization, crush it. That was his idea. How are you going to crush it? Right? That means there's a competing narrative. And what it boils down, the narrative of humanism and scientism on one side. That's what it's about. It's already been identified. It's not a mystery. It's humanism coupled with scientism. And that includes technology, a subdivision of scientism. Right. This, their narrative competing with Krishna conception. We're here to broadcast Krishna conception. There's no shortage of other things, as he told. Krishna Katha Durvika, the only famine I recognize is this, talks about Krishna. When we were in, there's this Russian, big Russian lake, a city called Petrozavodsk, correct? And there's a big lake there, with there with Murleshwar Prabhu, where, you know, staying in someone's flat, and there's like some person who invited us there, they're the host or whatever, but you know, there's other family members around. It's not like they're gonna go on holiday for a few days. They're gonna be subjected to the program. Thank you very much. We can say to them, thank you. They like some recognition. So this one person, I was hearing all the talks and everything, and you know, they're thinking like, I wouldn't say offensively, but just like naively or innocently saying like, well, if you really want to help people, I mean, you're just sitting around talking about Krishna all the time. If you really want to help people, you go out like feed the poor, clothe the poor, provide some kind of, you know, shelter, housing or whatever, you know, and do something that really helps people. Not all this Krishna talk. So I realized, all right, this is someone who does not see any value to this. Right? As when Srila Guru Maharaj, he went to collect a check. You know, in India, this is probably at least at that time, I don't know if they still do, but, you know, they would give contributions to even religious organizations to open a mosque or do things. So basically, this was already a done deal. He was just supposed to show up, collect the check on behalf of Gaudiya Math, say a few kind words, and go. But in the interim, between when that was promised and the collection, a new man had the job, and the other man had been transferred. And that happens. Like, so, you know, the super pious man who was delighted at the idea of a mot and, you know, willing to commit the funds was replaced by someone who was, you know, more secularly minded. So now Guru Maharaj finds out they're not going to get anything. And he's saying, in fact, if there are surplus funds, the last thing we'll give it to is a mot. It'll be for, you know, the Boy Scouts or some humanitarian, altruistic sort of program, not for, you know, a mot. And then Guru Maharaj is like, oh, no, you know. What do I say? And it shows something about Guru Maharaj's internal condition or operandi that he thinks is some very high verse actually from the Bhagavatam, but in a way that it's applicable in this situation. Because the verse he thinks, he's praying to Saraswati Thakur for some grace, for some help. He doesn't know what to say. This is instructional too, because we think, no, Guru Maharaj, he knows what to say and everything. No, he's praying. He's caught, you know, by surprise, off guard, and thinking, what do I say now? So he's praying to his Guru Maharaj, Sri Guru and his grace. And this sloka comes to him. And it's the sloka where the Bhagavatam, 9 cantos, a prerequisite to come to the 10th canto. And in the 10th canto is a gradual revelation of the sweetest pastimes of Krishna. There's a sequence there. They come, you know, what is it? 29 through 35 or what? 34, whatever. So even there, 29, you know, like, and there's a reason for all of this, a divine reason that it's so carefully presented and so perfectly. But the sloka he's quoting is after these sages, they've heard, they were told in the beginning with the Jugupsitam Dharma Krite Nushasana Sloka that Narada was chastising Vyas for, you know, basically like for giving religion to the world. Right? I'm saying this to capture your attention and to look at it in a slightly different way. So you could say that he's saying, You gave religion to the world, and that's ruined everything. There's some people right now going, I've been saying that for years. You just come to this conclusion? And now you're saying that Narada told Vedavyas? Bah! Very good. Well, not through yet. Because what did the Bhagavatam say in the beginning? The Bhagavatam starts by condemning religion. I'm just saying religion here. Again, to capture your attention and focus on what's being said. Technically, to be precise, he says, Koitava Dharma, which Prabhupada renders as cheating religion. But the implication is, all religion has some level or degree of cheating in it. Otherwise, what do you need? What is all? Why does he now say, you've got to do this, Prabhu, present the Bhagavatam? He's saying, because it's inadvertent. I mean, do you give Mahabharata? Within that is Bhagavad Gita. So if that's already there, and we're big, you know, promoters of Bhagavad Gita, right? Then, right? Why is this Bhagavatam so necessary? So these sages heard that in the beginning, it's religion, what it's become. That's the problem. And here's the man who gave us religion, sitting right in front of, you know, Vedavyas. Not just another person or another great personality, no. Vedavyas, that Vyas. And that's why Narada said, it has to come from you. Because otherwise, if it came from someone else, they'll say, hey, I'm following Vedavyas. Are you a greater authority than him? Why should I take you seriously? I'm following Vyasadeva. He's the compiler of the Vedas. He's given all this, and now you've got some new thing you want to tell everybody. I'll stick with Vyas, what I've understood from him. But so what Narada is telling him, it's just like back to the thank you thing. I like to stay on theme. He's saying, like, it's been lost in translation. This whole religion thing's got out of hand. You know, oh, I guess this was in Bhagavad Gita. Remember when you wrote the Gita, when you compiled that? Vyasa Prashada Sangjaya said, by your, you know, you, I mean, fourth chapter, right? It goes off. It's gone way off. People, they're thinking that because Vedas deal mainly with Brahman, and Guru Maharaj's assessment, I mean, this is a sweeping generalization, but a good one nonetheless. It's mainly Brahman, some Paramatma, he said, a hint of Bhagavan. That's the Vedas, as they're generally understood, without, you know, Shastra Nipun extracting Krishna conception. Like Guru Maharaj, you know, how to extract Krishna conception from the womb of Gayatri and Vedanta and so many things like that. So he's telling him, because the way they're thinking right now is, and the way most people think, you know, be religious as far as you can, and then you can live a happy life in the world. Now someone might be saying, well, are we not saying that? What is that Jesus quote? Where he says, I've come to turn, you know, father against son, son against father. You know, he's saying, I didn't come here to like, hey, can't we all just get along program? There's a verse from him, a quote where he says, you know, this is heavy, the message. They've changed it into, you know, Christmas. Merry Christmas. But it was not so merry, all the things that he had to say. He's saying, it's intense. It may create dissension. You say dispute, dissension. So Narada's telling Vyas, you people have got the impression by what you've said, like dharma, artha, kama, moksha. We used to always hear this in preaching in India. People go, first you do dharma, like, you know, be religious and everything like that. Then, you know, artha, make money, then kama, enjoy, dharma, artha, kama. And then, you know, when your senses are burned out, or you ran out of money, or whatever, then
moksha.
You know, but why go for moksha from the very... No, you go dharma, artha, kama, moksha. That's, you know, everywhere that's said. So the idea that someone should be trying for moksha too soon, that is not good, you know. Or that just people are crazy. The spiritual people are just crazy. We were at a place in Bengal. It's the first time I ever had begun bhaja. I have begun bhaja on my brain. But with like mustard, just Bengali village style, with the mustard oil, everything, you know. And we're eating it around like 9 o'clock at night in the summer. And we're at this house and there's this table. And it's in Tribeni, where these three rivers meet. And it's, you know, there's also history of Mahaprabhu and his devotees there. Not too far from Panihati. And, you know. Anyway, and these men, Satyanarayan Misti Bandar. We made these three men members. They own a sweet shop in Calcutta. And we went, we're invited there to do programs for a few days. So that night we're having this meal. And there's one, like, daughter at the end of the table. And she's like that the whole time. And we're like doing other things. And someone's like, what's up with Didi? You know, like. And then finally they had to say something. Cause, I mean, she's like the whole time. And he goes, oh, a few months back, she got the moksh. Like, in other words, she's insane. She got the moksh. Oh, really? That's what it's like, huh? I've read about that. So that's the thing. What is moksha? What is liberation? In the Bhagavad Gita, muktir hitbanyata rupam swaropena vivastiti. And this is on point. So he's saying, what you need to tell people is, to finish, I'm not finishing the thoughts. He's saying, on the basis of what they've understood, so they're thinking, particularly eros, right? I like that word, eros. Right? Freud, driving principle of material existence. You think, the impression they get from you as the only plane where eros can be expressed is here. And when you're done with all that, then moksha and you merge into the one or whatever it is. Enter eternal monotony. Monotonal. The one. So they'll real, and Prabhupada says this in his purport of the first verse of the first canto of Srimad, the first verse of the Bhagavatam, that Mayavadis, by emphasizing the impersonal aspect, they're indirectly giving impetus to mundane sexuality. Because then this is the only world where the sexual principle can be expressed. Sorry, when we saw that pamphlet called The Erotic Principle and Unalloyed Devotion, everybody went, what? You know, I mean, what they found inside was different than what they thought was being advertised. But still, it's expressed there. There are places where Saraswati Thakur says, you cannot, I don't know if you use the word divorce, but, you know, make separate. You can't divorce the erotic principle, he said, from human consciousness any more than you could erase their existence. It's that intrinsic to existence. So you understand? So Narada is saying, the impression people are, it's not what you intended. And if someone can read properly everything, they get it, but the people in general, they don't. And they're thinking you're giving religious advice how to live in the world. So who's going to want to leave the world? or give up the world. So, and that group, they'll think moksha is for insane people, the dysfunctional. Right? That's who they are. Puggle pujaris. Why in Indian movie the pujari is always a puggle guy? Because other people think, yeah, he's not good for anything. Yeah, he can be the pujari. And maybe he'll get moksha later. If he just goes totally insane. Really? I'm not making this up. Most of it. The bulk. So, the substantial parts. So he's telling him, you, my dear Veda Vyas, you have to give the Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam will be this book that culminates, and we say, the sweetest pastimes of Krishna means the Madhura Rasa pastimes of Krishna, where they see that Eros has a place in the upper world, in the divine world, but it's such a delicate subject matter, it needs 9 cantos, a prerequisite to get you there into the proper frame of mind. So those sages, after hearing this, their jaws drop, literally, metaphorically, and so you're saying, you said in the beginning, religion was jugupsidam, like condemnable and everything. Now you're telling us what we normally consider condemnable, immoral activities. That's the ultimate religion. Whoa! Incredible. And that's why it's Parikshit Maharaj seeing their apprehension, asks certain loaded questions to Sukadeva Goswami to get him to come out and say very beautifully, what's the adjustment? They say, well, one thing is it's like Ishwaranam Satya Vacha Satyam. I mean, it's funny because it's like the parents always say, do as I say, not as I do. Or what? Actually, for the Ishwaras, it's kind of like that. Saying, follow what they say, don't imitate what they do. But then saying, Shiva, he can drink an ocean of poison, as he did in the 9th canto, Mohini Murti, out at the Suvarnabhumi airport. All these things are connected. So, and what was the end result? Nilkanta, his neck became this beautiful bluish color. He could digest that poison. So they're saying, these pastimes, if you think they're like mundane, it's like mundane sexuality, then you're drinking a poison that you're not going to survive. So there's some qualifications here. Dhira. Shiva is also known as Dhira, interestingly. And then the verse saying, the Dhira. So, but then the sloka comes, it's saying, so who's qualified to express these things or to hear them? Vikriditam brajad badubir itam idam cha Vishnu. And interestingly, just heard about Krishna's pastimes with Radharani and Brajagopis, and now the word Vishnu is being used. Why? I imagine some people in the Sri Sampradaya, they could say, well, because Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu. But that's not why. It's to remind us that Krishna is not non-divine in any way. Sometimes Vishnu means God. Just like Bhagavan, Ishwar, the different words mean God. Here it means, these are the pastimes of divinity. And Vikriditam, it means this amorous play with the Brajagopis. Yes, this is the confidential thing. This is the play of the sweet absolute. So it says, Shradhan Vito Anushrinayad Varnayadyat. So only through faith, hearing from the authentic devotees of Krishna, Like when Mahaprabhu tells Pradyumna Mishra to go hear from Ramananda, and Pradyumna Mishra's thinking, and like to underscore the qualifications of Ramananda, we're told he's training these Devdashis girls how to gesture, express ecstatic emotions, and these amorous pastimes. And when Pradyumna Mishra, this comes to him, he's thinking like, Dandavat, and he goes, and Mahaprabhu said, so did you hear Harikatha from Ramananda? Because Mahaprabhu said, you know, what did he say? Krishna Katha Ami Janina. I don't know Krishna Katha. He's Krishna himself. What is he, why is he doing this? Saying, no, you have to go and hear from him. Right? And who is him? This person who's training these dancing, he's not a sannyasi. Kiba vipra kibra nasi shudra kene noi jay Krishna tattva veta se guru hoi. He's not a sannyasi. Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi, was hearing from Ramananda, the so-called Grihastha, and he's doing something which seems to be objectionable in coaching these girls. So that created some apprehension in the mind of Pradyumna Mishra, like the apprehension in the mind of those sages hearing from Sukadeva Goswami. And what does Mahaprabhu tell him? He says, there is ek Ramananda. There aren't two. When I tell, I heard Krishna Katha from him. When I send you to him, you can understand he's qualified. He said, for me, if I hear the name of a woman, it may create a disturbance in my mental system. Why? Because we're told women's names are supposed to end in long vowels and be pleasing to the ear. So he's saying, if I hear the name of a woman, it can, you know, create some disturbance in my mental system. Or if I see the statue of a woman, the form of, even the form of a woman has that sort of potency. He's on me. He said, not Ramananda. He has an aprakrita deho. It only looks like he's a regular person of the world. Aprakrita. Even the human form he's expressing here now is divine. And think about it too. It's Vishaka Saki. Right? The full mentality of Vishaka Saki, but appearing as Ramananda. So now with Mahaprabhu's recommendation, he returns and then he hears from him. So what does this tell us? And many things, one of which is Shraddhan Vito Anushranayad. You have to have faith, that kind of faith, right? Otherwise, the whole transaction would be polluted. Right. So, then, Bhakti Param Bhagavati Pratilabdhikamam Hridrogam Ashu Api Hinoti Achirena Dhira. And the words Hridrogam are used. And that's what Guru Maharaj decides to say to this man. Hridroga means heart disease. Saying, but not physical heart disease. What's the cause of the root cause of material existence is heart disease. Like Yeats said, then the deep heart's core. Only in this case, that's where the problem lies. Actually, we would hope to say the deep heart's core is not, and it's what's covering that. But hridrogam, that, you know, to consume in the name of love, lust, to acquire control and consume something as a means of achieving fulfillment. That is the root cause of material existence being identified here. And saying, and only hearing about Madan, the pastimes of Madan Mohan, who is so beautiful and chanting, can, you know, Kandarpa Koti Kamani Avishesha Shobham. 10 million cupids condensed as one of the seductive power of Madan Mohan. Cupids bewildered by it. The whole world bewildered by Cupid. Cupids bewildered by Madan Mohan. That means, why Madan Mohan? He can break the stranglehold that lust has upon the heart, the hrid rogam that's keeping everyone bound. Oh, so we need to hear those things. Just, but gradually, there's a way, sradhan vato anushrinayad atavarna yedyat. So Guru Maharaj is telling this to the man, Mahaprabhu, when he's hearing from Prataparudra in the garden, tavakatamritam taptajivanam kavipiriditam kalmasha apaham shravanamangalam srimadatatam bhuvi grinantite buridajana. When he says this part, it's from Gopi Gita, the songs the gopis, they're singing and separation from Krishna. And they're consoling one another, saying like, it's hearing about you that gives relief to the suffering heart. All suffering is from dissociated from Krishna. All of it. Mundane suffering and spiritual suffering. And the cure is the same for both. That's what they're telling us. It's not like what they're saying is not relevant. It's always relevant. So they're saying the cure for what the suffering we have, tavakatamra, is topics about him. Tapta jivanam, it'll put an end to suffering and give you life. Life-giving. Kavibhir kalmasha apaham. Srimad atatam, it's real, this is real wealth, real substance you're giving to people. Shravana mangalam. Then hearing this is the beginning of all auspiciousness in one's life. Shravana mangalam, Srimad atatam, bhuvi grinantite, buri dajana. And those who are giving this, they're giving something substantial to the world. This is the real thing. As Guru Maharaj said, everything else is trash. This is it. This is what you're, satsanga seva dhirnina, seva di. This is the treasure. And it is achieved in association with devotees. Only they can really express these things in a meaningful and substantial way. And hearing from them will break that stranglehold that lust has on the heart. So Guru Maharaj said, there needs to be a temple where people will hear this. And he said, and he gave this, we only say this because he said it, but he gave the man an example and a very impassioned delivery. And he said, on hrid rogam and the heart, this consumerism. He said, when I was in the body of an elephant, I ate jungles and my hunger was not satisfied. But they say, well, you should give people. When I was in the body of a stool-eating pig, I ate mounds of stool, and my hunger wasn't satisfied. Shocking. And then that man, he started to cry, and he said, Swamiji, I believe in God. And Guru Maharaj said, your eyes are the evidence of that. And he said, therefore, we need a temple where you can hear about Krishna and cure this heart disease, which is the root cause of material existence and all suffering. Ding! Then give the check. So that girl said, why don't you guys do something substantial? She didn't understand. This is that thing. We're doing it. Right in your house, here in Petra Zavots, this is the place where it's going on. You should go get some people and bring them here, is what you should do. Not we should go out and, hand out jackets to people or blankets or something. Guru Maharaj said, the man in Navadeva said, I prefer what the Boy Scouts do. And he said, suppose one man, like people have animal shelters and stuff, which is a fine thing, but he said, suppose one man, he has a program for dealing with dogs. Like they're feeding the dogs, giving them medicine, shelter. And he said, so dealing with dogs as dogs, and they're caring for them. That's, you know, it's a nice program. No one's, we don't fault that. He's saying, but suppose another man, he has a program where he deals with dogs in such a way as they're transformed into human beings. That's our program. So why did I say that? Where did it start?
From the question about thank you.
About thank you. But where did this last part start? There was a transition.
Yeah, Guru Maharaj visiting that man to collect funds.
That was way before.
Way before.
Why did I start talking about that?
To see values in Krishna talks, there is only lack of one thing, Krishna Katha, Saraswati.
Oh, right. Yes, and so before that, that's connected.
What do we think about Western civilization?
There's
a good
idea
before that was the propaganda word.
Propaganda in favor of Krishna conception.
But the story of Babaji Maharaj.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what
the subject of interpretation.
Yes. Right. So Mahaprabhu embraced Prataparudra Maharaj, saying, Buri Dajana, those who give us this, they're giving it. He said, I don't know how to reciprocate with you. He didn't say thank you. He said, I just embrace you. That's what he did. Mahaprabhu embraced Prataparudra Maharaj, finally. Long at last. And it's like Guru Maharaj embraced us by saying, we're all Mahaprabhu's men. But this is why we're here, for this reason, this purpose, either directly or indirectly, to assist and promote, you know, propaganda in favor of Krishna conception. And that you only get at the proper mat. When Tirtha Maharaj once, with noble intentions, they were struggling in these days of Gaudiya Math, rented out the, Nath Mandir or something, for some other program, like a Shiva program or something, and took it down, down payment, deposit. But it came to Saraswati Thakur's attention. And he said, no, that cannot be. He said, you can only hear our Guru Varga here. Return the deposit. And then he said, and I want you to put a sign, and you can see it in the Nath Mandir still of Chaitanya Saraswat Mad in Navadeep on a wrought iron grill. It says, Shravan Sadhan. The house of hearing. You only hear when you come here. And what do you hear? Our Guru Varga and this line of thought. Hare Krishna.